Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor.
Coming to you live from the Wikicuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's the Falling from Grace podcast.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Falling from Grace podcast show. I am Angel, your host, and as always, with me is Danielle.
Hello, hello.
You can find us on Facebook at Falling from Grace podcast or under Wicked Curiosity Media's Facebook page where all the shows are posted, as well as the website. If you click on that link, you can see past pictures and blog posts. That's what we'll call them. There's writing on there, and we all wrote things, and they are all there, and you can see those. It has not been updated in a while. It needs to be. We will get on that. Also, we do have a TikTok page under Wicked Angel. Go check that out. There's some fun content on there. We would love new followers all the time. At the beginning of the year, we will switch over to Twitch. We will no longer be doing Facebook Lives, which we are not doing tonight because our producer isn't here, but we will not be on Facebook Live anymore, and we will be not streaming from Blog Talk. We will strictly be streaming from Twitch and Discord. So we look forward to seeing everybody there. We will post the links on our Facebook and our TikTok and our Instagram pages. Instagram is under Wicked Curiosity Media. And we'll keep you guys updated. So there's my intro. Also, since we are not on Facebook Live, if you would like to join us, you are welcome to call in at 718-664-9735, and you can talk to us live on the air. Here we go.
Ta-da.
Woo!
It's all done.
Is that like 4 minutes? Not bad.
It's not as polished as the others.
So from this show until the first of the year, things will be a little sporadic. Like, next week is Thanksgiving. We don't do shows during Thanksgiving week. That's family time. So, not just Falling from Grace, but BTS,
Nope, I Know.
Cinephiles, Nope, I Know. Mm-hmm. We will be taking a break for the week of Thanksgiving, and then we will be back the following week. And then I believe December 17th is our final show for the year, and we will return January 8th. So we'll take a little break, going to have some family time, enjoy the holidays. I encourage all of you to do that too. You know, get off your phones, get off the internet radio stations, go spend time with people. So
it's hard to do.
I don't really like people either, but I'm going to encourage you to do that.
Especially family.
Yeah. That's like a lot. That's like 3 weeks of family.
That's a lot of family.
It is. I don't know about anybody else, but we do holidays. We try to do holidays, not big, because we're not rich, but fun. Big as in we have a lot of people. So Thanksgiving is usually the family, the group from WCM, and the godfather and the uncle, and all the kids, and at least one or two stragglers that come in and need somewhere to be for Thanksgiving. So
That's
it's pretty normal. We're short a few chairs this year. I don't know quite how things are going to work out, but we'll get there.
Everybody bring their camping chairs.
We need some fold-out chairs this year. I will blame it on Dan's coworker because I had enough chairs, and he broke a chair, and then I threw the chair away.
And you got rid of half your sectional, too.
Yeah.
There's some chairs.
There's less space now. I'm sorry.
Well, there's more space.
There's more space to sit. Like, pop a slot on the floor because there's a lot of that now. So what are your plans for Thanksgiving?
I do not know yet. I have to check with my...
You have 1 week, ma'am.
I know, but I'm a last-minute planner.
I do not have time for last-minute planning. 1 week. You know,
plenty
of that.
But I have plenty of time for last-minute planning because I don't have anything at home.
How is this coming here?
Well, that's true.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. You're going to have to be on the spot. I'm going to need to know my Monday.
Okay.
I hope you at least come for dessert.
Yes.
What's up?
We're talking about Thanksgiving plans. And
oh, hi, by the way.
Hi.
Welcome, Dan.
My parents are out of town for the month.
Okay.
And so I don't have plans there. And then I have to check with my children, but they usually have plans the day of with other families. So of Thanksgiving, I should be good. Guy in glasses actually has to work.
I will kill him.
He had a choice between Christmas and Thanksgiving. He had to work one or the other.
That's stupid. They shouldn't even be open on either of them.
And since he's normally off on Thanksgiving or, you know, Thursdays, it shouldn't have been a problem.
Right.
But he's trying to be giving because they're being giving and accommodating, and so there's some give and take here.
That's gross.
I know.
Super irritating.
I know, and I told him you weren't going to be happy.
I'm not happy.
But
what time did he go to work?
For 3.
So, I mean, he gets to come watch the parade and have snacks at least.
Yes.
Maybe not the turkey and the ham, but, you know, at least part of it, and then we can send home food with you.
Yes. We will see what we can do. I will make sure
he gets some Thanksgiving food.
Yeah.
Because that's not fair.
You know what that sounds like to me?
What? A call-in?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Brian?
But that sounds like a whole lot of, I don't have anything to do on Thanksgiving.
I'm not committing to anything.
But I'm not committing.
Yeah, that's not.
But do you know what else that sounds like to me?
I need a friend.
I'm coming over for Thanksgiving, but I don't want to be committing because
if I tell you to bring dessert, does that make me commit?
Yes. Sorry, bring dessert. It's not okay. I know where you're going, and it's not because I think I'm going to have a better offer.
There is no better offer.
Exactly, because the better offer is me sitting on my butt on the couch not doing nothing.
So what you could do?
So my best friend literally can hear me all of my good cooking.
Yes.
All of the food.
So it's
I might be,
if,
listen,
that
I
is
might
what
be
I
a chubby girl, but I don't even give a shit on Thanksgiving.
Look, so what you could do is you could either sit on your ass on the couch at home and eat a fucking Hungry Man meal.
Ew.
Or.
I'm choosing crap.
Or.
We'll have those too.
What you can do is you can come over here. Sit on your ass.
You could read
on our couch.
There's not space on your couch.
We will make space.
Yeah.
The
for
other
you.
Boys take up all the space.
We will.
You know that.
We will make room for you.
Will there be alcohol?
Fuck yes. Will there be alcohol? I'll be drinking alcohol with my coffee.
Hold on a second. Did you not read the messages earlier that I showed you? I'm obviously an alcoholic.
Confirming.
Yeah, there'll be alcohol here.
Look,
duh.
Fireball eggnog with Fireball.
Oh, I'm not doing that.
And
I have a gallbladder, and that sounds like a recipe for disaster.
I have to introduce you to breakfast shots.
I like the
it's like maple
sound
syrup
of,
and bacon.
Do you have them at breakfast?
Yeah, you
okay,
have them
that
breakfast
sounds
noon,
like a whole way to
night,
make up.
Midnight, afternoon.
I mean, I'm
going to
have Bailey's in my coffee, so
right?
I'm off that day, and I ain't doing shit.
I don't eat breakfast. But breakfast shot.
You could eat.
That sounds okay.
You could partake in.
To be honest, we put like 4 pounds of butter in our turkey to ensure its moistness. So, yeah.
Moist.
Ooh. You gotta try it.
So I'm officially telling Danielle to bring a dessert.
Okay.
You know who else is bringing dessert?
Huh?
Your son.
Which one?
The only one here that is adult enough to bring dessert.
Okay. Oh, and I got...
Is he adult enough to bring dessert?
He has not chosen yet if he's going to try homemade, which, you know, whatever, do you, when I'm not using the oven all day, or if he's just going to go buy one. I'm going to encourage going to Aldi's and buying a pie because I don't have time for your shit.
And I got specifically told by the Godfather that macaroni and cheese is happening.
Well, then he can add it to his fucking list.
Because...
We have to have mac and cheese on Thanksgiving.
Well,
we have
egg noodles, we have
But I asked,
mashed
and you
potatoes.
Told me not to put it on the list because it was too many starches.
Right, because
it's Thanksgiving. Starches don't count. Like, that is the meal, other than the turkey. Right?
Okay, look, I got the lecture from the Godfather. If you know anything about the Godfather, he doesn't fucking speak. So we were walking in the Home Depot the other day, and I was like, so this is, you know, we were talking about the list. I was like, you know, we're probably not going to do
homemade mac and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese this year. Literally stopped in his tracks in the parking lot, looked at me and said, yeah, the fuck we are, and walked off.
Which sounds like him.
Yeah, the fuck we are.
Yeah. So I got a lecture. Yeah, the fuck we are.
That's a lecture.
From the Godfather.
Yeah.
That was, motherfucker, if you don't have mac and cheese, I'm going to murder somebody.
However, I kind of feel like he's just like, give her another reason to be in the kitchen.
So if I have to come and I have to bring dessert, I can also bring something else so that you have one less thing to have to cook. Because I do have a crock pot I can put something in. Such as mac and cheese.
No, because
green beans.
No.
Really?
They're already on their way.
That's for someone who doesn't know how to cook.
I am trying to make it easy on you.
Neil's bring green beans.
I will let. As long as my green bean casserole will be fine.
He's bringing them to me to cook.
Okay.
Cook it properly.
Yeah.
Okay.
In a crock pot with seasoning.
Okay. So what you can do is you can do mac and cheese.
If you want,
shit. Yeah. You can do the mac and cheese.
There.
Look, she's committed. She's coming.
See
what I did?
I don't know what you guys have. So when I was a kid, our Thanksgiving dinner, without fail, I hope she's not listening. So it was my mom's dry-ass turkey.
I hope she is listening.
That's the gravy.
That's the actual stuffing. So there's stuff. Homemade stuffing. I still can't eat soap top. Like, I can't do it. But
wet and nasty
cranberry sauce, and it wasn't like the can that you slice, because I would probably eat that. But it was like cranberry sauce.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever had that kind. I've only had the can that you slice.
It's not better.
And it's
it's not better.
Still not any good.
Deviled eggs, macaroni and cheese. Which, by the way, if you don't know how to make it homemade, don't. Just buy Velveeta, please. Okay, because that was no good also. Mashed potatoes and gravy.
Green bean casserole.
And green bean casserole, because I made the green bean casserole every year. Dan doesn't eat it because it's got both mushrooms, and I don't. He doesn't eat it. It's whatever. I don't care. I don't make it. It's
mushrooms
another step.
So, dessert-wise, do you like cheesecake?
That would be a good one, because Austin brings, like, pumpkin pie, and really nobody else but Austin eats it. I don't generally eat dessert till late that night.
I will. So, I love cheesecake. I'm not a big fan of, like, the fruit.
You don't want toppings, so plain cheesecake toppings on the side.
I mean, you can do, like, chocolate drizzle.
So, on the side, and you can drizzle it yourself.
Yes.
I don't really care how
good. But, I mean, cheesecake.
It's good.
I will.
See, now Austin doesn't eat cheesecake because he doesn't eat cream cheese.
Mm-hmm.
But he does. You want to know? It's fruit cream cheese on his bagel. And I'm like, it's still cream cheese, dude. You could eat a raspberry cheesecake and it'd be the same shit you put on your bagel.
So, is it the texture, the taste,
I'm not sure. But either way, between pumpkin pie and cheesecake, everybody will have something. Choose it or go to bed.
So whether you're from the South or the North or
right.
wherever, pecan or pecan pie is good.
See, I can't do that.
A lot of people don't like it.
My mom, and it was one of the few things that absolutely she rocked at. I can't stand pecan pie. I cannot stand
pecan.
It.
I was like, pecan?
I can't stand it, but my brother loved it. He'd make it every year.
You want to know the secret? I actually love pecan pie.
What?
Homemade.
I would have figured you'd be like, no.
Homemade. Homemade. Not that shit from them. Homemade. I love pecans.
Mm-hmm.
I love homemade.
So you and I will eat the pecan pie with some cheesecake. And and I think the family does not really do sweet potatoes.
No.
See, and that's one of
my mother ruined
like
those for me also.
I'm not a big fan.
That was the
potatoes.
Other thing. She used to buy 2 or 3 large cans of yams and put brown sugar, butter, and a shit ton of marshmallows in them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do sweet with my dinner. I don't like it. And they were so they were so freaking sweet. And I was just like, no. So when she comes here and it's Thanksgiving, that's always what she wants to do. And I'm like, okay.
Make a small portion, please, because somebody else.
I'm not going to eat.
So,
that's funny.
I'll put this out. You've had her regular everyday cooking.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I'm from Oklahoma. I cook like an Okie.
Yeah. Like her normal everyday cooking. When it comes to Thanksgiving, excuse me. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and St. Patrick's Day, it is fucking on. Like, if I wasn't so full after those days, like, she wouldn't walk for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Like, seriously.
It is not diet friendly, by the way. Ever.
Her cooking, for the most part, is good. Something that I'm not crazy about, but that's okay.
But it's still
good.
It is
what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her everyday cooking is good. I love it. I do. I like it. Thanksgiving, like, next Tuesday, my mouth will start watering.
As I'm putting them in the fridge to thaw.
Yeah. And then when that turkey comes out, oh, my God. That turkey is fucking phenomenal.
And it took practice because I did learn from my mom. Mm-hmm. And there was 2 options with her turkeys. Okay. One year it was so dry. It was so dry. And I didn't know why. She would
like
put it into the bed popped out. She put it into the bed popped out. And I thought that's how it should
work. Yeah,
is that what it was?
But then 1 year, because I'm not a huge, I like my turkey, but I wasn't a huge turkey fan back then. There was a long time that I really thought about becoming vegetarian. Because I didn't know meats were supposed to taste the way meat tastes. I thought they all were horrible. Sorry, Mom. She cooked a turkey 1 year, and it was super juicy. However, I was already burnt out. Like, I didn't want any. And Austin was my only baby at the time, and I didn't give it to him. Because I was like, we'll eat ham. Every single person at dinner, besides me and my infant child, got salmonella poisoning. Mm.
Oh.
Because once we got to the center of the turkey,
when this turkey comes out.
And I'm so anal about that. Like,
oh, my God.
The meat better be done.
Mm-hmm.
I will cut into that, and I sharpen the knife, obviously, and it, like, melted butter goes
mm-hmm.
through.
Want to know why?
Butter.
4 pounds of butter. Stuff butter under every ounce of skin there is, rub it on top of the skin, and then I put a whole pound up in that bitch and stop it in there with onions. It's all you got in there. But it makes really, really rich gravy, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then her Christmas Eve. The homemade clam chowder, that was my request, because that's what I've always had
mm-hmm.
for, you know, because my family is originally from New England.
They're north.
So, you know, homemade clam chowder is my thing on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day, like, make plans now for Christmas dinner, because it is the one day out of the entire year where I will drop an entire bill on a piece of meat. We get the biggest prime rib that we can find. And
it took me a long time to get that right.
Oh, my God.
A long time.
Last year,
Because the first year, that bitch was almost raw in the middle. I had no idea how to cook a primer.
The first year was my fault. I will take the first year.
I had no idea. Because we've talked about it. I was fucking poor. I had prime rib one time at a military ball. That was my prime rib experience.
Right.
So the idea of cooking a prime rib, I was like, do you just put it in a crock pot?
No.
How do you cook that? It's supposed to be, like, I know what it's supposed to look like in the center. Yeah, no.
The skin is nice and crispy. Like, I mean, it's got that layer of
it
crust
also has
on
butter
it.
On it.
And then, you cut into it, and it's
if anybody cares, the trick to all holiday cooking.
And then the potatoes?
Is
the garlic potatoes?
Paula Deen style cooking, butter and everything, but.
Like, when it comes to holidays, because this is the first year you've really spent holidays with them. When it comes to holiday cooking, there is nobody. And I'm not a big fan of my stepmom, but she can cook. She really can.
I don't know her.
Like she makes the most phenomenal homemade clam chowder.
Mm-hmm.
But, like when it comes to holiday meals, like she is just, did this one there, and it is just intense. Like there is, you want to talk about OCD? And these meals come out absolutely perfect. And then the leftovers the next day, oh, God. Oh, God. That's why we didn't get a 20-pound turkey this year.
We did not, because typically I have, obviously, ham left over, which is fine. But then we would have so much turkey left over that I don't like to throw stuff away. So by the end of it, I take, like, whatever was left over and toss it in the crock pot and make soup.
Mm-hmm. Stick in the freezer for sandwiches. Like, use it later.
Yeah.
We eat it for the first couple days.
And you're done.
And then she'll do the soup, and we'll eat that for 2 days. Then it's you know, because I only get turkey once a year.
Also, the uncle and the godfather, within those 2 days, do come back around, and they take leftovers. So,
yeah.
Like, whatever we don't finish with the soup goes with them.
Yeah.
Because we all know they don't eat healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
It's hot chips, they're not eating it.
We're still.
And then, see, if you come, you can make the guy glasses plate. Because, you know.
We'll call it a plate. Really, he's getting my Chinese food leftover dishes.
True. But you can have that if he's not here.
And he won't be.
Right.
He won't be here. And that's sad, but it's Thanksgiving. The biggest part of Thanksgiving for me, besides cooking and dinner, is in the morning. Me and the kids, we cuddle up on the couch, we watch the parade, and that's always been my favorite part of Thanksgiving. So last year was a little weird because they had to fix it for COVID. So nobody could be on the sidewalks. There was no crowd, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But we still got to see the floats, which was really cool.
Yeah.
And we've already been asked if they're going to have the parade this year. I've not heard anything. So my assumption is it's a go.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm happy about.
So, yeah. And it's so funny because I am so not a parade person.
It's the only parade I want to watch, though, and I'm happy with it on TV. I will say that.
We put it on, and, I mean, it's not like we're sitting there intently watching it.
I'm cooking.
You know, she's cooking, we're watching it, the kids are there, they're, you know, either doing their tablets or something, they're watching it, I'm there, I'm
so
watching it, helping her.
So we have to see Santa.
Yes.
That is the big one. Everybody gets all, even the big kids, gets all excited. Like, you can't miss Santa coming through.
Exactly.
And we always wave to him and tell him we can't wait to see him. And that's the real Santa right there.
That's the official start. That's when the tree downstairs slipped.
Okay.
So, I mean, you're a whirlwind of holiday shit.
Yeah.
And we can't forget homemade hot chocolate.
That's on. We don't do
so
that.
Polar Express.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was here for that last year.
Yeah.
Because last year I was spotty at the activities just because it was new and I had all the other plans going on. I did make it for Polar Express.
Yeah.
Which hopefully this year will actually be a little bit bigger uptake in kids. We had to kind of push it off a little bit, especially last year, because we were still in full swing of COVID. We didn't invite as many littles. Because we didn't want to make anybody uncomfortable. We didn't want parents to come and be afraid that their kids were going to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
I have natural immunity now, bitches. Hopefully I can taste Thanksgiving dinner.
I can taste
right
now. I'm
going to taste it. But, you know, the kids have already started their list of, can I invite this person? And so this year will be a little different because it'll be all new kids. When we had Littles before, it was a set amount of kids. It was the same kids, little people, every year. And we've been doing this for 10 years?
No, this will be
9 years.
This will be our ninth annual.
So when we first started it, it was all babies. They were like 2 and under, 3 and under. It was all tiny, tiny little people. And it was so cute and it was so fun because they got the magic of it. And then as the years went on and our littles grew and their littles grew, it, you know, it got a little bigger. Then we moved to Tennessee. We didn't know any littles. So then our big kids made friends. And so we would have a house full of teenagers and little people. And that was more amazing just because you see these teenagers who for one night are like little kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're just sitting there watching this movie. They're super excited to get their bell, to have cocoa and homemade popcorn. And like, that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
I have two 19-year-olds. They're both super excited to be kids for a night.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
So Alex is actually, so he's coming down on the 18th. Which is the night of Polar Express. He specifically chose that day because he wasn't sure if we were doing Polar Express the 18th or the 19th.
And he didn't want to miss it.
He didn't want to miss it. He's like, if I came on the 18th, I figured I'd be safe because, you know, we always do it the week before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know, I figured if I came down on the 18th, I'd be safe. I was like, yep, we're doing it that night. So he'll be here probably that afternoon.
Super excited.
Yeah. And then we'll do Polar Express that night.
So something else fun that we do every year, partly to cut costs because I got a lot of kids, even though it's my money that goes to their shop, whatever. We draw names every year so that no sibling feels like they have to buy every sibling a gift.
Yeah.
We have a lot of kids. So this year we have 6 kids doing Secret Santa. They all drew their names last night. But on top of that, the adults do the same thing. Now, does it ever happen that certain adults buy everybody something? Absolutely. That's their choice. But they have one designated person
that they have to buy,
that they buy a gift for.
Yeah.
And that's their person to spoil. You know, you don't have to buy 4 or 5 other adults. You want to buy 5 gifts for one person? I don't give 2 craps. But that's your person.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about my person this year. Dan's super excited about his person this year.
I am.
I don't know who you got, so
I'm excited about my person.
Good.
I'm completely lost about my person, but I am excited.
I am too.
So maybe the next idea that you do next year is have a list, everyone contribute a list of what they would like.
Wouldn't that be nice? Because
so it's up there.
While we're a super close family, we only get to see each other, like,
Once a week.
Danielle and Jeremy are 2 of my best friends. I literally only see Danielle twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for the show where we're not, like, that's not time. And then Friday nights where it's still not time because she's there to hang out while we all play D&D. So it's still never like, let's sit down and have a chit-chat and get to know each other type things. We're just who we are. And it makes it hard after a couple of years when you realize,
I have no idea
what this person likes. What are they into? We don't talk about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's stupid.
But we are similar enough that I feel like you know me.
For the most part, we've talked about that. We're very practical.
We're neither
people.
One real girly.
I like girly earth. Like, I like smelly stuff. I like to smell good. Give me some shower shit.
Yeah.
That's about the only time I'm going to get girly. I don't wear makeup. I don't know how to be a girl. I don't. Danielle knows how to be a girl. She's very pretty. I'm a sweatshirt and pajama pants most of the day type person. I only get dressed when I go to Walmart. I don't even have to because, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen Tennessee Walmarts, but I'd still be the best dressed person in there.
Although you do get dressed up to go to Target, which I'm proud of.
I'm not walking
into a little more Barbie.
I'm not walking into Target.
You can't walk into Target the same way you walk into Walmart.
No,
you can't.
That's like normal people shit. Okay, Walmart's like, fuck you. Judge me, I don't care. I see your belly hanging out. But in Target, I'm like, oh, she's got Uggs. I should have some of those someday.
Oh.
In the summer, so, they've got shorts and Uggs. Like,
so next year, what we should do is everyone put their name everyone write a list of some things, you know, whatever pricing you want to do.
We don't care. I took the cap off.
So. And have that be your folded up piece of paper so that whoever draws your name has your list of wish things.
Put your own name in the bowl.
Right. You put your name, things that you wish for, with specific items.
Or things that you like.
Or interest. Or some
sort
of... Maybe you need a form.
See, I'm easy.
I could make a Google form.
And that way, they pull the list out. They have
what's
their name.
What's your favorite color? What's your favorite show?
What's your birthday? What's your sign?
I'm easy to draw for. Everybody knows my life.
That's not true. That is not true. Because he's a huge Lego fan. And every year, I'm like, motherfuck, I don't know which goddamn Lego fan.
Exactly. You have all the Legos, or you have none of the Legos. Like, we don't know what you have and what you don't have.
Star Wars, Star Trek, Alien, Predator.
But you have some of those things.
Where you and I are practical.
He's not.
He's a things. He likes to collect things. And so while that is...
practical person, too.
Okay. He's a fan of person. He likes his things. He likes to collect things. And sometimes that's easy, but then other times I'm like, but is it good enough? Like... is that the gift? Because I like perfect gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it hard.
It does, because you spend the whole time trying to find that perfect gift, and then it's time, and then you're done.
Also, what makes it hard is when you find the perfect gift, and then you realize that next year you're going to have to do better than that gift, and it's probably not going to happen, because I have found some amazing gifts, but then I'm like, I can't do that again.
So, the two ones that she has done that I love her to death, but she has not been able to top yet.
I know I haven't.
One is an autographed picture of Darth Vader, signed by David Prowse.
Mm.
The other is an original LP Star Wars A New Hope soundtrack with the insert, the poster insert.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome that year.
Two and done.
I have not won Christmas in a long time.
Now you're getting socks and a tie to
wear. Here's your Christmas underwear. Have a good day.
Remember the one gift I got you?
I won one year.
Well, and the guy in glasses is easy because tools or like warm socks or warm undershirt. I mean, you know, so certain members of the family are easy, whereas certain ones, it's like, I have no idea.
The hardest one in the family to shop for is the uncle.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Because he's so quiet, and he's not very vocal about what he likes.
No hobbies,
he gets the
no
same
interest.
Shit every year because I'm like, I don't know what to get
to. Here's a t-shirt, some socks, and underwear.
Seahawks, Game of Thrones.
WSU.
WSU, warm stuff.
Washington State University.
It took me a second, but I got it.
He was a cougar.
You're a cougar.
Which is hard because I'm not a cougar fan. I'm a Husky fan because my dad played football for the Huskies. Growing up, that's the side of Washington I was on.
UW all the way?
Was with UW. As a matter of fact, when I was a senior in high school, I remember going to the UW games and doing their concession stands. I thought that was super cool. And then he became a cougar and I was like, I want to be a fan of you. But I feel like you're a traitor. So,
I'm going to get him a UW shot glass this year.
Shot glass, okay. So, funny story.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, super funny. Because I do all the cooking here. I did find out the other day that my Pioneer Woman knives that I don't use often are incredibly sharp.
I found that out the other day, too.
Did you?
Yeah.
It was incredibly sharp. I was trying to be smart. I was in a rush because I was prepping my own meal prep with chicken. And so I wasn't using a cutting board. I was doing it in the package. This thing's like slides through like butter. Super cool. And then the knife slipped while my finger was reaching forward to move the chicken back. And you don't actually feel the knives until the backstroke. And then... apparently, my son says I am wrong. I feel like I'm right. When you hurt yourself, burn yourself, cut yourself, the first thing you do, stick that shit in your mouth. I'm a germaphobe. a huge germaphobe.
Why
so
are we not
it,
TikToking this right now?
It fucking hurt. And there was blood, like, I almost took a whole chunk out of the side of my finger. There's blood pouring down my arm.
Was this raw chicken, or was
it? It was raw chicken. So I cut myself and instantly said, oh, my God, ow, and stuck my finger in my mouth. And in about 2.5 seconds, my brain said, what the fuck? And then I pulled it out of my mouth, and I was like, ugh, because there was raw chicken in my mouth then. So then I turned the hot water on. And our water gets incredibly hot. And I stuck my finger under the bottom part and started splashing water in my mouth because I was going to die because it was raw chicken. So then I burnt the inside of my mouth and my finger hurt really bad. And I'm trying not to scream downstairs. I have no idea how the only kid home did not hear me because I almost passed out.
There was a lot happening.
There was so much blood. And it was gross because then it was in my mouth. So I grab paper towels, and I'm wrapping my fingers. I'm like, I got to finish the chicken, because it's fucking raw, and there's cats. So I'm trying to do that, and there's blood soaking to the paper towel, and I was like, I think I might have messed up.
Well, I'm glad you have sharp knives.
Yeah, it's super great. And then I took the Band-Aid off the next day, because I was like, well, I got it wet in the shower and stuff. It's kind of gross. I'm going to take it off. It's not bleeding anymore. I went grocery shopping, and I came home, and I grabbed all the bags out of the back of the car like I do because, you know, one load's better.
Mm-hmm.
And got in the house, and I guess it had busted open, and then I had blood all down my arm, and I was like, this is the best day ever.
Really, it's not raw chicken.
It's like, what the hell? Stop.
You may have needed a little butterfly stitch on that.
If he had been home, yeah.
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 That would have been a good idea.
I almost called him and was like, where's the skin glue? Because I'm pretty sure I probably need some of that. And I'm not going to the hospital.
Now, see, when I kind of, because I was making chili for when they were.
Oh, yeah, coming back.
Coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, I was making chili, and I was cutting the onions, and I was going too fast, and that kind of cut the tip of my thumb.
Mm-hmm.
See, the first thing I did. Stick it in the water.
Yeah, not in the mouth.
Right
in the mouth.
Stick it in the water.
I was just like, ow! Yeah, and then I was like, oh!
See, she's a germaphobe. I'm a smart germaphobe.
I could not. Remember, it felt like the day of, like, it was, it had to have been Monday. It felt like a Monday, because it was pretty, it was nothing but folly all day, and I was like, I can't, I'm just going to go sit on the couch.
Just
I feel like today's done.
Stop adulting.
Yeah, we're done. Sophia was the only one home. She's the youngest. And she comes down. She's like, what are you doing? Screw you, kid. Try not to die.
Bless her. She wouldn't. I don't know that she would get it fully anyway.
She probably, like, freaked out, man. All that blood. She could have, like,
oh, the blood.
Call daddy.
Is that fake blood?
What did you do now, Mom? You're so stupid. Stop cutting yourself.
Yeah, she doesn't get super excited.
No, she doesn't. Well, she hurts herself.
Well,
and she's usually fine unless she sees blood. Like, she'll be like, she's the first kid. When she was little, every time she would get hurt, fall down, scrape herself, she would stand up and be like, I'm fine. I'm not hurt. It doesn't hurt. I'm fine. And you'd see big tears rolling up. And she's like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm good. Okay, are you sure? No.
No.
Yep, so that was my folly for the week.
So we're still going to use the knobs. We're just going to use better practices with the knobs.
I'm going to curl my fingers under next time and not be holding it, like, with my fingers
and
outside.
Maybe use a cutting board and
yeah, probably that
things
too.
Like that.
So the way you're supposed to do is you curl your fingers and the flat part of the blade.
Oh, I know. I know how to do it.
So that way you don't.
I know how to do it. I was in a rush. And again, and that is usually my biggest mistake in most things in life, is that if I'm in a rush, I'm inevitably going to get hurt somehow, whether it be fall down a flight of stairs or cut my finger off.
Those of us with hand-eye coordination issues don't, like, I understand the concept of holding your fingers under, but I just see my entire finger being chopped off instead of just the tip.
Yep.
I get it. It's natural because it's natural to hold something, you know, like that.
Yeah.
And then it's also natural to when you're holding the knife, put your finger on top.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
You curl and you hold. And you chop.
You curl and hold.
We all learn.
Curl, Carl Holden Chop.
We all learn.
So, sounds like going to bed for me. Carl Holden Chop.
It is what it is.
Sounds like a movie night.
Your movie night.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. So we are going to take a quick break because, you know, it's about that time. And we will be right back.
Falling from Grace, we'll be right back.
Drifting down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave, and these will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost, and I ain't too proud. If you love me, you would hold me and never let me go. If you love me, you would tell me you never want me to be alone. If you cared at all, you would stop and never go. But you just turn your back to me and say, I guess I'd
everybody to the Falling from Grace podcast show. If you want to join us, we are not on Facebook Live tonight, but you can call in at 718-664-9735, which never really happens, and that's fine unless they're ignorant, but it's cool. You just listen, you two people. In the Netherlands. It's fine.
They're probably listening right now. She gave us a shout out.
Well, it's better than even gotten glasses. We had some kids troll a show.
Oh, I had a dude troll. Do you remember the one guy? Like, I, the whole time I was like, I'm so fucking confused right now. I don't even know where this conversation's going. Okay. Oh, you want to keep... Okay. Okay. We'll just have your conversation.
Well, we're all over the place anyway.
That's why it is what it is and why I do not normally put, like, this is exactly what we're talking about. Because... I have ADHD. It doesn't happen that way. We could start talking about that and then talk about five other things.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. However, today was a huge example because my phone went off with an Amber Alert today. And apparently at the high school, all of those kids' phones went off with another Amber Alert. And we've seen a pretty big uptick in Amber Alerts in Tennessee because I don't get them from anywhere else. I usually only get the Tennessee ones.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I have not heard an update about today's. It's a 3-year-old little boy from Gatlinburg. You know, you can actually go to the Amber Alert website and check out active Amber Alerts. So I would do that. Hopefully it's being shared. But last week there were two teenage girls that were Amber Alerts. And both of them were found thanks in a great part to social media platforms, the biggest one being TikTok. A couple hunters saw the TikToks, recognized the vehicle, which was hidden in the woods, disabled the vehicle, and then called the police. And the one girl, so I think she was 17, was rescued. So, you know, when we look at social media, that is the good it can be used for.
Mm-hmm.
Or for, like, fundraising or... obviously connecting with your family. Like most of my family is out of state. I don't see them. I get to see their lives through social media, which is awesome. And I think that it would be great if that was like all we ever saw was good things happen on social media, you know, like sunshine and rainbows and shit. That is not, in fact, though, what happens. A lot of cancel culture is through social media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it spreads like wildfire. It doesn't take long. We, especially like Astroworld, the festival, that man is going to, Travis Scott, who I don't even, to be honest, I guess it's my age showing, but I had no idea who he was. And I listen to pretty normal music, but I literally have no idea who he is. Obviously, I know who Drake is, but those two have had a lot of comparisons lately because at their shows, they don't pay attention to what's happening around them. They just want to do the show, get their money, and whatever. And Travis Scott especially, I knew about Astroworld, obviously, because of TikTok, saw a lot of the videos, which were super disturbing, heard a lot of stories, but then found out that this is not abnormal. People at his shows have been hurt multiple times, and he doesn't care. He doesn't stop the show. He doesn't do anything to help. He just continues on with his business. And that's not me trying to cancel anybody, because, again, I don't even know who the dude is. Like, I have never heard any of his music. But Astroworld was weird. I did find out that there was a kid who had been in a coma from the festival who just died. He was 9.
Mm.
And a lot of people at the time were blaming the parents. We all know that sounds stupid, right? Like, I don't know how many kids go to New Kids on the Block or Adele or any of these other artists. Kids want to go see their artists. Mm-hmm. So why would we put the blame on the parents? Because that's...
For most shows, there's no age limit.
I don't even go to concerts. I'm not a huge concert fan. But we went to, like, Five Finger Death Punch, which could, in fact, get a little crazy. But it didn't. I mean, they had, like, a pit. We had a couple bands that came out and kept trying to incite, like, mosh pits and stuff like that. And that can be dangerous, obviously.
Right.
But then when they came out, they stopped the show and were like, we're not going to do that. Don't do that. That's stupid. We're not going to hurt people. There are kids down there. Stop being stupid. They won't play the music unless you act like a fucking adult.
Right.
This guy, I think one of the most disturbing things is I actually listened to a paramedic that was on scene. And there was a lot of rumor about people being injected with drugs. Turns out it was fentanyl. And they encountered two paramedics that were on scene. You're talking 50,000 people. So they went for one call. And within that call, I think he said he saw like seven people that were down, no pulse, no breathing, getting CPR.
Wow.
That's two paramedics in a crowd of 50,000 people. How many people actually had this happen? On top of the fact that there was a security officer who also went down. He was trying to help somebody over the gate, said he felt something hit his neck, a prick, and then he was out. They had to use Narcan to, a couple times to bring him back. That's scary. Honestly never want to send my kids to any kind of music show.
Well, and I don't understand what kind of maliciousness lives in people that makes them want to do that.
Fentanyl will kill you instantly.
Right.
And that's what was happening. People were dying.
Yeah.
We live in Knoxville, okay? It's not the greatest place in the world. I don't care what anybody says. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan. It is not the greatest place in the world. There's a lot of drugs here. There's a lot of bad people here. And there's a lot of drug use here. Back a few years ago when they were talking about fentanyl being put on, like, the handles of shopping carts, before COVID was even a thing, I don't allow my kids to touch the cart until I've wiped the whole thing down. Because all you have to do is come in contact with it. Don't touch the cart. Because I don't know what the person before me had on them. No, we're good.
Aside from the feces and the...
Right, like, no. It doesn't matter if it's Walmart or any other store. They know, don't touch the cart until I've had a chance to wipe the whole thing down. Because I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Like, it kind of makes you not want to do anything sometimes.
Well,
fentanyl is such a scary drug.
Right. And there's no way to defend yourself against that kind of an attack. You know, we know not to drink drinks that are sitting out, or, you know, to guard your alcohol when you're at a bar or something, you know, but that kind of thing, I mean.
And the fact that they were injecting them.
Yeah.
Like, who decided that was their night? And who got past security?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to pack all these syringes full of fentanyl. We're going to go shoot people up and see what happens. Nobody checked bags at this concert? Like, who got in and did it? Because I'll guarantee they will never find the person.
No. Because I'm sure...
Or people.
I can't imagine there's a lot of security footage.
Not a lot of security footage. There's a lot of cell phone footage, though.
Mm-hmm.
And there's footage of kids climbing the stage and saying, stop the show, there's people dying.
Mm-hmm.
And he just...
Kept going.
Security stopped him and said, hey, there's things happening, and he brushed him off stage and kept going.
Wow.
So, yeah, horrific. Do I think social media should cancel him? Yeah. You know, we did it with R. Kelly. He was pretty gross. I'm sure there was another one. Kanye West canceled himself. Social media didn't have to do that. Sure, when his mental breakdown happened, that was kind of it. But then we look at people like Britney Spears, who
exactly
have been crying out through social media for years for help. And when this whole movement happened for the Free Britney, and she got to finally go in front of a judge, look at her. She got her life back. Like, she's done. She has her whole life back. And again, blessing or curse.
Yeah, and for those things, I think it depends on whose voice is louder, the pro or the con, or the, you know, which side of the fence.
Yeah, and that's hard, especially right now, you know, and especially during COVID. People didn't have anywhere to go, I will tell you. There are no greater sleuths than women on social media. And so you had a lot of crap coming out that nobody would have ever thought of, because people were bored. They were at home, and they went down rabbit holes that none of us ever thought to go down. And shit was just pouring out of the internet left and right, and nobody could shut it down fast enough for people not to hear it. So, yeah, that's still a thing. I would venture to say, for a long time, Twitter was huge, was like one of the greatest social media tools. Facebook has been falling behind for a long time. While it still works, I don't see as many, especially young people, I don't see as many on Facebook anymore. It's just not a thing. And during COVID especially, TikTok blew up. because it's a way to actually look into somebody's life. People were bored. They were stuck in their own houses. I enjoy TikTok.
It is definitely entertaining, and it's very easy to go down the rabbit hole on TikTok.
Oh, it is. When you watch one video, you're like, but what got you there? And then you got to go back to their account, and you're like, go back 20 videos. Now I've just spent 25 minutes watching your life. And I don't know how to get that back. So during I was going to say the last part of COVID is when Dan and I found it. And back then, it was super entertaining. Like, we would embarrass the kids because we would be up here in bed watching it laughing super loud. It's not as funny anymore. There's a lot of seriousness. You know, once Trump was out and politics started playing a part, that overran a lot of stuff. Also, like, domestic violence stuff. People were sharing their stories, which, don't get me wrong, I mean, I'm all for it, but it's not as funny as it was unless you get the right algorithm, which obviously I have not.
I was going to say, I feel like you probably...
I broke the algorithm, and now it's not funny, and I have to really, really scroll. We started watching, I don't know if you know who Content Violation is, which is a group of dudes. I would say it's more guys. The girls that are part of it really were just people hanging out with them. Started out with Georgia Landscaper, who I started following on TikTok before that ever happened. Mm-hmm. He was one of the first Officer Udi.
Udi.
On the live today, it was Udi. It's Udi.
Okay. What region you're from.
Yeah, and then Taco.
Mm-hmm.
Super funny guys. Enjoyed watching them. And then they became super popular. And then they did the ride-along game. You know, it was a big joke. We're going to all the popular kids are going to go hang out. We're going to go on a road trip. We're going to go have a ride-along. So then they started doing that. And then we started seeing, like, Comedic Cody and Officer Kingery and TR came in. And then is it Jimmy Jones came in. So we had this huge group of people. Well, suddenly they needed a publicist and a manager. And then they decided they were going to go on tour. And people were just feeding into it because, you know, they're young and people found them good looking or they found them funny. And, you know, I just have to see them in person. I would not pay to see a TikTok person who literally is nobody not doing it. But that's what they did. And, for a long time, I think it really went good. I think, you know, they were having fun and doing whatever, but at the same time, when you're the popular kids and you start feeding into the housewives of the USA, power goes to your head.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen. We have seen it over the last, month, I would say. It started with Georgia Landscaper. He left Content Violation. Said that it did not align with his values. I want to say TR and Georgia had very strong Christian values. I mean, they were very clear in that we don't want to be part of bullshit because that's, like, we just want to go out here and entertain. So Georgia left. Turned into a whole thing. He made some accusations back then. Said he saw things that weren't right. Didn't like how things were going, didn't like how people were being treated, so he wasn't going to be a part of it. No hard feelings, blah, blah, blah. There were, obviously, because there were lives, and there was a whole shitstorm between them and him.
And then I saw a video that stated the opposite, that they had kicked him out because he didn't align with, he was operating outside of his, I don't know, so it was something to the effect of he was doing things that made them uncomfortable. And I only started researching it because of a discussion you and I had about it. And I was like, okay, I don't know. Because I could, of course, you can't go back and see the breakdown because everything's hidden, deleted.
Well,
whatever.
So when Georgia started, he had a girlfriend. When this whole thing blew up, he was not, and I've listened to the lives between the two, and I watched a few of his where he was just, man, he was mad. It was both entertaining and sad. That's just me. Sorry. But it's true. He left, and his girlfriend stayed. She wanted to hang out with them because they were the cool kids.
Hmm.
So then he felt betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
And they obviously broke up. And he left his home, left his business, everything, decided he was going to take a break. He was going to take this road trip in his RV. He was going to find a new life, basically. Okay, cool, whatever, start over. Also weird, but whatever. Then he had a female who was part of Content Validation, found, like, they were friends through all of that. She decided to become his assistant. They were not sharing rooms on the RV, but she was traveling with him. And then eventually they started dating, obviously. Now they're married. That's a huge fast forward. I didn't see a lot of drama between that moment and now. Seemed like, you know, okay, George is done. We're not going to talk anymore about him. Cool. He was still really mad. There was a good month, 2 months, where he was still putting out content where he was still really angry. And that was fine. I didn't watch it because I'm sorry. See my personal life shit. I don't care.
Right.
Like, it's not affecting me. I'm sorry it happened to you, but it's been like 2 weeks and I'm done hearing it. So I stopped. And then he left TikTok for a while. I don't really know why. Now that we fast forward, there are allegations out that the girl that Georgia married, April, was, and I can say it now because I'm not on TikTok and you're not going to ban me, was sexually assaulted by one of the members of Content Violation. Now, we're about to cross into some touchy territory because I'm never going to be a popular opinion. I'm not. I think completely differently than anybody else, than my husband, than my best friends. My brain works differently, and I don't trust anybody. I do not support Officer Kingery. Never liked him. I thought he was kind of a whore. He reminded me of the jock in high school that suddenly became super popular, and everybody wanted him, and so he fed into it.
Mm-hmm.
90% of his videos were him doing booty dances on TikTok because the housewives were, like, eating it up.
Right.
He's not good looking, guys. God damn. But he had a wife and a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. From that moment where we are just starting, if that's my husband, you better stop.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You're just making us look stupid already. Now, on the other side of it, I am a survivor of sexual assault. I do not advocate for victim shaming at all. I want to believe every victim. But let's also be super clear that in cases of, we'll go ahead and call it celebrity, because that's what they've been made into.
Pseudo-celebrity.
Right. And in cases of clout, sometimes things are blown up. Sometimes we just want attention. Sometimes we say shit to hurt somebody else because we're mad. And it's out of line. I am not saying that nothing happened. I truly 100% believe that at some point something happened. I don't know if it was to her or to anybody else, but something happened. If we look at Lawless, I believe her story, that he absolutely inappropriately groped her and she was unhappy with it. She didn't go back and hang out with him afterwards. She was done. Like, ew. So, yeah, I believe her 100%. She's made several lies in the last week about it. There was nothing about her story that did not make me not believe her. I like to think I'm a fairly decent judge of character when I'm reading somebody. And her, yes. She's also a lesbian. Like, she had no reason to lie about it.
And people who are victims of sexual assault or any appropriate sexual behavior typically will remove themselves from that situation.
Yes.
And when they choose to continue to go back into those situations and subject themselves to possible situations that could result in behaviors like that.
Without finding somebody to protect them, a whole group of men that you're friends with, you did not find one person to protect you, because I know I sure as fuck did.
Right.
I did not go around that person again. I went to my group and said, no, I don't want to be around them. Did I go to the police? No. Did I go to my parents? No. Did I go to my friends? Absolutely. Did they know what was going on? Absolutely. I did never, ever again after that moment that I put myself in a situation to be alone with that person. Because that's not okay. Why the fuck would I want to be around you?
And on the other side of that, if you are not, if you, like officer, or which one was it? You're talking about married. Udi?
Udi is married, yes.
So if you are a person who's in this celebrity status and you do not want to put yourself in a situation where you could be blamed for something, you don't be around in private people of the opposite sex or same sex, or, you know, you keep yourself in by yourself or with a group.
He was huge with it. TR was the greatest one about it. I just watched his live with Lawless today. And he was like, look, I made it clear from the beginning. I will punch a female for coming up on stage and coming at me because I'm fucking married. I don't want you up here. I don't need it. I don't want it. As for the guys bringing people back to the RV, no. You want to go fuck somebody? Take them to a hotel. I'm married. I don't want it around me.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely the best reaction possible.
Mm-hmm.
So huge props to him. But you can ask Dan. Dan was active duty military. He deployed. What was a phrase that I continuously said to you when it came to the opposite sex?
He's like, which time?
Stay away from them.
Never, ever allow yourself to be alone in a situation where nobody else is around and it's just you and them in a room.
Mm-hmm.
Because inevitably, they will do something. You will be their scapegoat.
It's either you could be a victim of something, or you could be in a situation that you are tempted and you should.
My biggest worry was this person's going to get at this person or fuck up, and they're going to blame that person because everybody saw them alone in a room.
Right.
Exactly.
And it happened. It happened.
Right.
You know, you don't put yourself on. My biggest one is perception is always key.
Mm-hmm.
Perception moves the world. Do not put yourself in a situation where people can perceive that you're doing the wrong thing.
Exactly.
Because it will come back.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't, but it will. And that's what these guys did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to think that I've listened to most of them, and while most of them seem like tired, scripted TikToks, I would like to believe, and I do believe Lawless, she's made it very clear that the rest of them never, ever did anything disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
They were always respectful. Udi, Cody, all of them. And I'm happy for that. And I'm obviously, Kingery has it in him to be inappropriate. Inappropriate. I think, just like the word narcissist, though, we throw the word sexual assault out far more than it needs to be used.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, being in a group of friends and walking by them and then slapping your ass or grabbing your ass on the top of your clothes, it's not sexual assault. It's not. Turn around, punch in the face, and move on.
Right.
That's not sexual assault. Sticking your hand down somebody's pants unwanted and grabbing their ass is absolutely sexual assault. As far as this situation is concerned, though, four times she went back to hang out with him. So did he assault you four times? Or was it only the one? Because I would like to know.
Right. And how much of that behavior, never, ever, ever would I say that someone is to blame or done anything to cause an inappropriate
response. Did you encourage any of it?
But did you encourage? Were you flirtatious? Did you say things to let that person
think it was okay?
Because
everybody thought Kingery was the dude. He's the hot guy. He's the shit. He's the boss. He's the toughest one in the crew. I'm going to align myself with him and be the hot chick because now I'm not, again, I was not there. Only two people know what happened, him and her. That is it. She can say what she wants. He can say what he wants. But at the end of the day, the truth lies between them. I'm only saying, though, that when that happens and being somebody who has been through it, I would not put myself in a position four more times to have it happen again and pretend like nothing happened and party and happy and play around. What the fuck? And then come back 6 months later and say, no, he did this to me. And then be on live screaming so loud that nobody else can get a word in to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people who yell the loudest are the guiltiest. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah, typically that is the case. Definitely.
Are we chasing you, Robe? Dan's
been exceptionally quiet.
Like,
he's like, I'm not going to stay on this conversation. But no, if something, I mean, and it goes beyond just a sexual component. If someone that you're in a crowd with is doing something that makes you uncomfortable, not even from a sexual nature, just anything that makes you uncomfortable, you tell them to stop, you leave the situation, you don't come back to it typically. So why would you continuously go back to that situation that you know something like that could happen unless you're just trying to, it's a publicity stunt. You
right.
You just want to align yourself in the public eye.
And then also, I do want to point out that the word rape has never been used, okay?
Right.
He not force himself on her in any way. It's got to be an age thing. Because while he may have done something that made her uncomfortable, was it really to the point where we're trying to destroy somebody's life?
Mm-hmm.
Should he not have
exactly.
a wife and kid? Probably, because he obviously doesn't think about his actions, and now it's going to affect them, obviously. But are we screaming the loudest to destroy somebody because he grabbed your boob? Or I'm just trying, I just want a whole picture. Like, he didn't rape you, so what happened? Because all I'm hearing is SA, which sounds stupid, by the way. All I'm hearing is sexual assault continuously, but not what he did.
Right.
If you're going to ask people to sympathize with you, then what the fuck did he do to you?
Right.
What was so horrible that we are screaming across every corner of TikTok to hang this man? That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Because you're looking at destroying somebody's life, their whole life. Was it worth that? Are you leaving us? You don't want to talk about SA?
From a male perspective,
I mean,
honestly,
I
would
like your opinion on what we've talked about so far.
I mean, I've been on the other end.
So then you have the perfect insight.
So I've actually been accused by a former coworker because she was getting fired.
Perfect example we're talking about.
Yeah.
And from the accuser's point of view, it doesn't feel good. Because when I got accused, I mean, obviously I'm going to tell my spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was that first initial reaction of that bitch, but then there's always that doubt in the back of the head, like,
what if?
What if? You know, because no matter how much respect and trust and love you have in your spouse, there's always going to be a doubt. You're never going to trust anybody 100%.
Right.
You know, and I mean, it was obviously proven false and that she was just crazy. Because number one, it didn't happen. And number two, everything that she was claiming, there was no evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was saying, I sent her pictures of, you know.
Right.
Of me and stuff like that, but she couldn't produce said pictures, and it's just like, you know, how are you going to claim all this when you don't have any proof? And it didn't happen.
But it has to be terrifying from your perspective, because immediately you're thinking, I'm innocent, this didn't happen, but you get the people on the other side that are like, yeah, but the victim's always right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had human resources
because
come in.
Because we don't want a victim shame.
Exactly.
Right. You know, I mean, I had human resources come with my district manager.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, my district manager and I had a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a shitty worker anyway. And she had made claims in the past of, you know, with other companies. But, you know, I mean, it was protocol, but it's still that weird. It's still that anxiety,
mm-hmm.
you know. I've got this almost pseudo stigma on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the guy that was accused.
And you're hyper paranoid about every action.
Yeah. Now you're like, because where I worked, it was a very cramped space, and you could barely fit two people, much less three, and we would have to have three people in there sometimes. And it's like, okay, how do I get in here and do what I have to do? And make sure that I don't accidentally bump into somebody.
Right.
you know, so you're like always like this and stuff like that. And, you know, you're always paranoid and stuff. And no matter how much the coworkers are like, you know,
it's fine. Yeah.
But the other side of that is the home, you know, is the spouse. Because I knew that I had to tell her regardless. But I also knew that she was going to have that doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because of past histories, but because there's always going to be, there's going to be that. And she's, you know, obviously she was pissed at the person, but she was also like,
is any portion of this,
yeah, is
possible?
Any of this true? Did you lead her on? Did you flirt with her? Did you do this? Did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it feels like an interrogation from two sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're getting your work interrogation, you're getting your spouse interrogation. And I'm not saying that that was a bad thing. But at the same time, it's you feel like you're being attacked constantly, and you're constantly trying to defend yourself. No matter how much you defend yourself, nobody's, you know, they're not going to believe you until, you know, it's proven. And even when it's proven, there's still that doubt.
Mm-hmm. That seed of doubt has been planted.
Yeah, and you know, and I never put myself in a compromising position, you know, because I'm not stupid. You know, I'm never alone with another person, male or female, unless it absolutely, like, you know.
Right.
And it was just that, how is she going to get, you know, and then I'm worried about, you know, well, how's my wife going to see me now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yesterday she saw me as a loving husband, provider, stuff like that. Now is she going to look at me differently? You know, and how long is she going to...
Every action.
Yeah,
right.
And how long is she going to look at me like that? You know, will she ever go back to looking at me like this? You know, and it's very unnerving, and it's very anxiety-inducing, and it's... Even if the accusations are false, they can still ruin somebody's career in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm never going to say that if you are a victim, a true, honest victim of any type of unwanted sexual advances, any type of sexual assault, right, anything like that, that you don't speak up. No.
Absolutely. Right.
But if you're doing it to ruin somebody because you're pissed off and that's your way of getting back at them, then honestly, you're just a shitty person.
Well, and what sucks is it's the 1% is what casts the shadow of a doubt from not only females who've been through it,
yeah,
but also everybody else, because those accusations are so large, and it takes one person to ruin an entire another person.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you go back later and say, yeah, obviously she was lying, that never happened, that's still there. It's still there. You've ruined a marriage. You've ruined a career. You've ruined everything. That person cannot recover from that.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest saving grace at the store that I managed, my biggest saving grace was, number one, my district manager. Number two, my employees, because they interviewed my employees. My employees were like, first off, no, that's not who he is. He's never done anything like that to anybody. He doesn't flirt with us. He's not inappropriate. He's always careful. And number two, he never put himself in that position. So I don't know why she would make those claims.
Number two, his wife's a fucking psycho.
Yeah, that too. But, I mean, there were people there, there were employees there that didn't like how I managed and didn't like how I made the schedule and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And even they came up to me and said...
They didn't lie about your character, though.
Yeah.
Right.
They came up to me and said, we know that you didn't do it. We know she's full of shit, mm-hmm. and we're going to tell them. And that was my saving grace,
right,
because of my character and how I conduct myself at work.
But it's sad that you have to prove yourself beyond a doubt in a situation where you're innocent. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the thing. I mean, I'm 100% for if something happened to you, then say it. Like, tell your story because it deserves to be heard and that person deserves to be dragged. But back it up.
Yeah.
Please. You know, the biggest thing I can advocate for, and it's the mistake that I made, is report it immediately. Don't give that opportunity to live life normally for years and then come back and say, but this happened, because you have no proof now.
Yeah.
And that was my biggest mistake. There was never a chance to go, back and say this happened, because it was years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. I hope they're living their best life. I hope they changed. I truly hope that that person changed and became a good person and then also felt super horrible for the things that they have done.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that I wasn't the only one.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is they probably didn't change, and I hope they're sitting in jail. That was the last I heard, and I think that's great because somebody spoke up.
Well, yeah, and that karma is a bitch that comes around.
Yeah, sometimes karma needs a little helping hand.
It does. Some of us don't have great booming voices. Sometimes it's unfortunate that another victim happens, but that person had the big voice
mm-hmm.
and made it stop.
Right. Or went to the right people, because I know, like, I had similar situations that I reported, but it was back in the day, and it was poo-pooed, and, you know, so you just shut up about it.
Yeah, I mean, and that was a big thing, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s,
mm-hmm.
those were not things we spoke about.
They were not.
You know, you, especially as girls, females, whatever, you just were supposed to move on.
Mm-hmm.
You were not supposed to speak about it because, you know, nobody wants to hear about it. It's uncomfortable. You don't want to ruin a family over something like that because it's done and over with now. Just move on. I am truly happy to see people come forward and tell their stories. And I hope that the people that did those horrible things get what's coming to them. But at the same time, we have to remember that there is that 1% out there who uses their body and their voice to just destroy people because they can. Because now it has become so mainstream to report those things that the first person they believe is always going to be the girl.
Yep. Because they're so worried about the stigma that we had where you are never believed.
Yeah.
So it's like the opposite.
Yeah. Which is horrible. Now, again, I don't know what actually happened. If he did indeed do these things, yes, absolutely, he deserves punishment. But then when you listen to all these people spent so much time together,
mm-hmm.
and it is, I want to say it right because I really don't want to come off like an asshole, but when character is being shared and they're saying, like he was kind of an asshole, but I've never seen him do this. There is that. Do we know that he is an asshole? Absolutely. We know that he has been inappropriate. We know that he should not be married, ma'am. Run. Because he let himself get away from who he is. I don't know if that's who he always was, but certainly it was who he became through TikTok. Do I think he was probably inappropriate with April? Yeah. He was probably inappropriate with Lawless. He was. I do believe her. But I don't know that grabbing somebody's ass under their clothes, which is gross, by the way, is enough to destroy somebody's life.
Right.
It is inappropriate, 110%, but is it enough for them to be punished for the rest of their lives?
Yeah, that is the question that probably will never be answered. I mean, just because we'll ever know the full story. The whole story.
But that's where the shitstorm of social media comes in, because it didn't matter at that point. Once she said something, he was done.
Judgment was cast.
Yeah. Right. You know, and if you stood up for him in any way, shape, or form, then your judgment was cast.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at social media, it is both a blessing and a curse. You can kill somebody's whole life. A business, I've seen businesses fall immediately because one thing happened that we don't actually know both sides of,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't matter because this person posted it and now that business is done.
So the lesson from this, I guess, if people could, is to take everything with a grain of salt and research as much as is possible
yes.
before judging. And hey, how about even better? Let's just not judge and let that be a personal.
Right.
They deal with it privately, personally, you know, with the police or whatever. But instead of, you know, burning them at the stake.
Before you know
sort
the
of
truth.
An accusation.
Yeah.
Right. So.
I mean, we've seen it here. Local businesses, local people. It takes one bad review, and
mm-hmm.
that can kill somebody's whole income.
Yeah.
Where, okay, this one person had a horrible experience. True. But the other 900 people had a great experience. So should we not give a little grace?
Are there no scales to balance this out? Or
yeah,
and that's
what I've seen a lot lately. Like, stop just jumping on bandwagons.
Yeah.
Do your own research. I'm fully capable of doing it myself. I'll listen to 500 people's lives on the same subject in order to think, okay, well, out of 500, 400 have this opinion, 100 have this opinion. Is that still enough to cast judgment?
Right.
That's still a wide scale. And it makes me nervous. You know, when we go on social media, when we do anything, like it is such a nervous thing because it literally takes one moment saying the wrong thing in the wrong way, and everybody's like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that. I don't want that. You know?
So I keep thinking of this image of, and I heard a story about earlier, we're talking about, you're driving down the road doing nothing wrong. You've not had a single drink. You're stone cold sober, doing everything correctly, and a cop comes up behind you. You could be doing nothing wrong, obeying all the rules, and you still are nervous like you just robbed the bank and are carrying.
I drive a fucking minivan in Knoxville, and I promise you there are way worse people out there. But yeah, every time a cop pulls up behind me, I'm like,
one sneeze and I'm done.
Like, I want to pee on myself because I'm just, please turn, please get out. But I will move to the slow lane and go as slow as possible so you pass me because I don't want you there.
The anxiety is real.
It's so bad. And I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but I have seen such a big surge in, like, unmarked vehicles.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, if it's, like, my overabundance of anxiety, but I always catch them. I always know. Like, they'll be behind me, and I'm like, son of a bitch. That is absolutely a cop. We're going to turn here, and we're going to pull into somebody else's driveway and pretend like we live here.
Not had any drinks. I'm not drunk.
I'm not driving. I'm just thinking you're in school, and now I'm late. Thanks.
They have to know this, though. Police officers have to know that how nerve-wracking it is when they come up behind somebody.
Especially when they come in super close. Like, you know,
they're checking your plate.
Check my plate.
Oh, yeah.
I hate it here.
Could you please not? I promise I'm fine.
I remember at one point my tags had expired, and I'm a procrastinator, and it's only been like 4 months. And every time I left the house, I would literally get hot sweats. Like, every time I would see a cop, I would go down every side road I could take because I'm like, I'm going to jail. They're going to put me in jail. They're going to take your kids. We're all going to go to jail. I was a master maneuver here because we could be right in town and one would pull out behind me like, not car wash.
The saddest part is everyone can relate. Everyone.
Like, I suddenly need advanced auto parts to give me a tire check. I don't know what I'm here for, but please just pass by and don't pull in next to me.
Oh.
So bad.
So if our anxiety is that high, can you imagine the people that actually are doing things they shouldn't?
I think sometimes though they don't notice. Like, they're so out of it already, they're like, oh, okay. Hi, Mr. Police Officer.
Just ignore the alcohol and the
weeds piling out of my vehicle right now is nothing. It's a vape. Like, I don't even want to smoke a vape in my car. Because I'm like, what if it billows out? Like, is that sweet?
Oh.
I can't live life like a normal person. I live in nothing but worst case scenario every day of the week. Like every moment, especially when I see cops, I'm like, what the fuck did I, what did I use my blinker back there? Did I pause long enough at that stop sign? I don't think I did. I think we're going
let me go back and pause. Let me go back and stop again. Can I do it?
Can
I
just pull myself over? I'll just wait here for you. And not on Twitch, I have not actually gotten more than one real ticket. And the one ticket I got was still, it was bogus because I had just gotten my license, got the super cool car, which at the time I now see was a mistake, but it was a Honda Civic hatchback. And I was driving down a road known for car racers. I was not a car racer. I was a 21-year-old female just trying to go home. But I had bought myself this super cute little light-up license plate frame at Walmart that was illegal in our state.
Was it illegal to have a light-up license plate?
Yes, because it reflects. And I was like, so why would they sell it at Walmart? That makes no sense, right? Am I?
Yeah.
Why would they sell it at the Walmart if I could get pulled over? And then he cut the wires to the light. So now I have no light on my license plate. And he was like, well, you could probably get pulled over again. And I was like, you're a fucking asshole. Like, I don't even know what's happening. I got my license a week ago.
What?
I did not know what's happening right now.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was the only time, though. Thankfully. And then the other time I got pulled over, I was absolutely speeding.
Absolutely.
There's one town in Oklahoma that you do not speed through. You better set your cruise control. Do not go a mile over the speed limit because they will pull you over, and they're jerks. And I got pulled over because I was rushing to school with my kids. So what did it's not my proudest mom moment. But when the guy took my license and went back to his car, he made my kid cry. Absolutely told him the guy was going to take me to jail. And then he was really, really crying. And he was begging the officer not to arrest his mommy. And then the officer felt bad, and he gave me my license back. A little long about our day.
And you were like, you're getting a big old ice cream cone now, buddy.
I said, go get a sweet tea now. A lollipop, too, because you earned it all.
Oh,
I'm not cute enough to do the boob trick. I used my kid. I'm not proud.
Yeah.
But it did work.
That's hilarious.
It worked. And then we never sped again. We just set the cruise control every day. Because I was like, I know that dude's the one sitting out here every single day, and he's going to start to recognize the van.
Kid can't cry on cue.
Okay, I could pinch him, but I feel like that's mean.
Yeah, that might be crossing the line.
He had
an already blurry one.
However, he did understand the assignment. He got it right. He saved my ass, because that would have been a hefty ticket.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
I was in like 65 and a 45. It would have been a hefty ticket. And he was like, I'm just going to need you to slow down. Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Have a great day.
I will be going 44.
We're going to school now. Oh, jerk.
Oh,
I would not hesitate to do it again.
I would totally do it again. That is funny. I don't think I've ever heard that story. Oh, honey, what childhood trauma did you suffer? My mom told me she was going to jail if I didn't cry.
I did not. Like, it was a total panic moment where I was just like, I got to get out of this. I do not need a ticket right now. I got to get out of this. My husband is going to kick my ass.
I need you to cry.
I'm going to jail. And then I kind of cried a little, and then he was like, keep crying.
Good job. This is what I need you to do. Good boy.
And it's super big plus because the dude was young, and I'm sure he probably had his own kids. Like, the guilt factor was real.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, I'm a Jeep.
I mean, like, I have been told many times by, haters that I'm a shitty parent. And in that moment, I might have been, but I was able to love him for many days to come.
And you saved yourself lots of money.
He turned out fine. It's been like 12 years. He's good.
Yeah, he's good. No long-term trauma.
He probably doesn't even remember it. I will always remember it.
Oh, That's awesome. See?
Oh, I'm just saying, like, and there's the power of being a female, though. You know what I mean? Like, a dude could have made his kid cry, and the guy would have been like, I go, shit. Here's your ticket.
This is very true. Yeah, I don't know that he would have had the same compassion.
But empathy is not the same. Mm-hmm. It kind of makes you feel bad for guys, because don't get me wrong, there are a lot of assholes in the world who don't deserve your empathy or compassion. But there are a lot of good guys, too, who don't get the empathy and compassion because there are really shitty females out there, and
mm-hmm.
they can't win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then we see all their stories on TikTok.
All the crazies come out.
And then you don't know who to believe because you're like, well, that guy's sad. That chick has a good story, though. I guess I'm going to believe her. I have found, though, in the last year, there's a lot more men out there being abused than you would have ever thought.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think you hear and see, and from my own dating experiences, I've heard of a lot more crazy chicks out there ruining good guys.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've met my share of bad guys, too, but...
Yes.
But I feel like women hide it better sometimes, or are better manipulators of men.
I think women use words better. When we look at abuse, we see, like, men beating the hell out of their wives, or sexual assault, or whatever. But we fail to recognize that women can say things and make men believe it and create a situation where they don't think shit about themselves anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They are broken and believe that they are not worth anything. Because women have, I will admit, I'm one of them. My words hurt. And I fight dirty with words. And I think we just tend to forget that. That's actually pretty common with a lot of women,
mm-hmm.
especially abusive women. Those words create a situation where you can break somebody.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is very true. So, and that I'm not good with words either way. I'm good with no words. You piss me off and we just don't talk ever again.
I mean, I'm good at that too. I try to go that route more because I know what comes out of my mouth and you can't take that shit back.
Right. And that's what I was going to say is I always try to remember whether I'm hurt or happy or sad or mad or whatever to think about my words and are these words that I'm going to want to take back at some point ever or am I fine if these slip out? Sometimes I don't catch myself.
Sometimes I don't feel bad and I don't actually ever want to take the words back. But then I go back and read them and I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, that's what came out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that old adage, don't ask the question if you don't want the
answer
to it.
I mean, if we are being 100% honest, I am that female that will tell you that your mama should have swallowed you when I am pissed off. And I know I can't take that back. So I try not to get that angry because that's the road we're gonna go down that road. I don't do well with words. It's like a dump. I have to physically bite my tongue and just shut up and walk away. Like I'm gonna ignore you because if I speak, it's never gonna go away.
But don't you
think it's horrible?
Don't you feel like your face sometimes says?
Oh, I know it does.
Because I've seen you walk away when you could have spoken and your face said all the words you didn't.
You are a piece of shit and I hate you. I know my face. That's, again, there's a problem. I don't work in retail anymore because I do have one of those faces. Or when somebody pisses me off, it's there. It's a whole book. I can't smile at you and pretend like I'm a good customer service person because right now I want to stab you in the eye. And everything in my face says, I'm going to wait till you go in the parking lot and trip you on your face. I just need to walk away now. And I've done customer service, and I've had those moments. I had a moment in when I worked at the casino, I had a couple come up, and they were horrible. They were super drunk. I got called every name that you could imagine that was disgusting because they couldn't get into a restaurant fast enough. And then accused me of taking bribes. And I was like, it's a fucking casino. I mean, go home. But instead, they went to security and the manager. And it was the one time that I was very appreciative that I had a manager that had my back, because he was like, I feel like you're intoxicated and talking shit. And security was like, there's a camera right over her, so we can see everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a horrible moment. And I know that my face, because I refrained from saying the words that I really wanted to say, and I could feel it in my, you know, mm-hmm. one of those people, like, I harbor a lot of anger. So by the end of the situation, I was shaking. I was pissed off, and I'm a crier. I'm a crier because I'm crying to let out all of the energy that I'm holding in to not actually murder you.
Mm-hmm.
I was done. Like, I never wanted to look at another customer again. Done. And my manager was the first to say, you didn't even have to open your mouth. We all saw it. I know. I know. I'm sorry. But it didn't come out of my mouth. But I didn't say the words. And that's all we can go with.
You're going
to light me up for the look on my face? That's uncontrollable.
The words didn't come out, and I didn't hit nobody. Life's good.
Best job ever, but at the same time, probably worst job ever. Like,
mm-hmm.
I encountered more just trash people.
Oh, I'm sure.
Than, I mean, even my own family. It's nothing like going to work and realizing that your sibling is blacklisted and yet passed out in the club, and you have to go find security to remove your own sibling from mm-hmm. your own casino. Super embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that dude's not supposed to be here.
And I'm sure...
The name matches. I know.
Crazy.
That's weird. Can what? You just keep running here, please?
I'm sure from a customer service perspective, in a casino, you're dealing with people who have been drinking, have probably lost a lot of money, or won a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. And the people that lost money, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning was like the worst time. Because now there's a certain amount of hours where you can't serve them alcohol. So they're wasted. They lost money. They just want to sit down and eat some food. And you're full. You got an hour-long wait list at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they're like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go sit down anyway. And you're like, I'm like 5'1", and I'm not actually going to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Security.
Yeah.
Security.
Wow. Yeah. Somebody could help, please. Because I'm going to trip this motherfucker. You know, when we think about that, we also look at what we were talking about before, judging somebody before you know the situation.
Right.
We had a customer at one point that would come in probably 3 times a week. And the first few times, I thought he was wasted. Because he would almost fall out of his chair. And he would inevitably always be asleep at the table. Turns out he had narcolepsy.
Oh, gosh.
He was an actual medical emergency to himself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So let's go to the casino.
Yeah, I was like, oh, he's not drunk. He's
just sleepy.
You don't fall. You're lost weight waiting to happen.
Yeah.
But he was the nicest guy.
Yeah.
You know, but most of us for a good week or so were like, that dude is fucked up every night. Why does he keep coming back?
Well, I feel like people with that type of situation, that type of condition, should probably wear some sort of tag that says, hey, guess what?
Narcolepsy!
This could happen.
I am not fucked up.
Warning.
A whole t-shirt, you could make that.
Mm-hmm.
Not drunk, gonna pass out.
Yeah.
And I've never actually encountered that in real life. So that was also, super weird.
Normally
like, he's gonna fall out of the chair someday.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we had boots.
Another, you know, don't judge them. I saw an article about this lady who had, or it may have been on TikTok, and I read that. Who knows?
Everything's
on TikTok. But I saw she had been drugged, but didn't know it. Somebody else saw the situation happen, but not in time for her to prevent her from drinking the drink or whatever. So she seemed like she was drunk and all that kind of stuff. But actually, she had been drugged, went to the hospital, got a drug test, you know, the whole nine yards. Figured out who it was, but couldn't press charges because they didn't know him. I mean, it was one of those situations. But it's like, if people had seen her, they would have just been like, oh, this is drunk.
Bitch.
Yeah. And she really just needed help and needed rescuing from the situation. So,
which is such a scary thing. Again, you know, we obviously kind of bagged on women for being shitty to men and being such an easy moment to have people believe you. But at the same time, it's also kind of shitty being a woman right now. Like, it doesn't matter if you're going out to shop or if you're going to the bar with your friends. There's so much danger out there right now for women that that also is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to the bar, I only order shots. I take the shot, I put it down. I'm not,
nope,
not leaving it for anybody.
Nope.
I don't drink drinks, and I certainly don't walk away from one.
No, I never walk away from one. And, you know, I travel, used to travel a lot for work, and I was in some shady places, and I always, you know, sat at the bar where I had a bartender and never left an open drink. Never, I would drink out of a beer bottle so that I was even more protected. You know, all those things. I had to go to the bathroom. I was like, you know, don't bring me another one yet. Let me go to the bathroom and you can bring them when I get back. You know, those kind of things. But, you know, you learn how to protect yourself. And I've already said this, last week was the first time I traveled and I was not in a safe place. I didn't feel comfortable going to the bar. I'm just going to get some Grubhub, be in my room, and if something happens, I'm at least just here.
These are funny because you said it was Jackson, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
The following day, there was a TikTok
mm-hmm.
on TikTok of this dude who is like a power company,
mm-hmm.
basically. And was like, yeah, I'm just putting this out there as a public service announcement. If you live in Jackson, Mississippi, I'm not cutting your power off. I am not cutting your power off. I will come here. I will shut my own power off. I will go to the next town over and shut power off. But I will not shut your power off, just so you know.
I will kill you.
Yeah. It's like, not me.
Yeah. I told you, I have been in the Bronx. I have been in all kinds of places in Jersey, Boston, Chicago, over in California. I mean, just podunk towns down south. That was the only place I was literally scared for my life. That I was like, yeah, no, I'm driving to the practice and driving back to my hotel and running in the door.
And I wonder if it comes with age, too, because growing up, I lived in, like, the worst ghettos.
Mm-hmm.
I was never afraid.
But you grew up there. You knew the people. You knew where to go, where not to go. You knew how to act and how not to act. You knew, I don't know, I feel like, yes, some of that comes with age, but this was in, like, a six-month time period.
Yeah, but, so the West Coast has some horrible places, obviously. You know, you've got downtown L.A.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't want to be in Skid Row, ever. Daytime, nighttime, whatever. You don't want to be there. Hollywood is actually horrible
mm-hmm.
at night. Like, that's a scary place.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up on Hilltop
mm-hmm.
in Tacoma, Washington, and that's a scary place, but it was very diverse. Like,
mm-hmm.
we were the only white family.
Mm-hmm.
And never once was I scared for myself.
Right.
But then I moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, and I'm just going to put it out there. It's not as diverse. It's really not. There's a lot less people of color here than white people.
Mm-hmm.
And those white people scare me 100% more than ever in my time living anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm stressed out going shopping with my kids in Walmart
mm-hmm.
because there's people that run around naked and they're drugged up and I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this stresses me out more than ever it was in any other place that I lived. And most of those places were pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, yeah, there's not a whole lot of places I'll go in Knoxville.
And I was an adult in a lot of those places.
By myself.
Yeah.
And I will say this, too, just because it was Jackson, like, being a minority didn't scare me. The people's behavior is
yes,
what scared me.
Yes, absolutely.
I will say that. I don't want anyone to think that.
No.
But, yeah.
It's the same here. Like, people's
yeah.
behavior here, like, I've seen a lot more random violence
mm-hmm.
than like, okay, I live in an area where gangs are prevalent. I probably need to just mind my fucking business.
Mm-hmm.
But here you could be minding your fucking business and still get robbed or stabbed or shot or whatever. Nobody talks about it. We don't hear about it a lot in the media. There's so many shootings in Knoxville. Like, do we live in Compton? What the fuck? Come to Knoxville. It's beautiful. No, it's not. Stay home.
All areas are not like that, though.
A lot of areas are. Dan worked on Cherry Street in Knoxville. And
that's
I don't know if
area.
A lot of people know that area, but it's pretty bad.
That's not a good area.
And every time I would have to take one of our kids to the hospital for some sort of treatment, we would drive over there because it's close. And our oldest daughter, who is autistic and beautiful and wonderful, every single time would be like, why do we always have to go to the ghetto to see daddy?
Aww.
I don't like it here. I'm like, I don't like it here either. just lock your door and go straight in the store. And then we'll leave in 5 minutes. She's like, I know, but I hate it here. I know. I know.
Oh.
I remember him calling me one day because, you know, fresh out of the Army, stuff like that. He had a job here. He ended up getting another job. And it was retail. And it was with a major gas station chain here. He called me one day and he was like, yeah, so, weird moment. I had a customer and she went in the bathroom like an hour ago and, the door's locked. She doesn't come out. I'm like, call the police. He's like, what? Yeah, that's no D. Call the police because that person's not coming out. And he did. And they had to remove the whole door. And yeah, she'd OD'd in the bathroom. He was like, they left the needle. Call the police. Tell them to come pick that shit up.
Yeah. All that needs to go.
Like, oh my God. Please get a new job. What the fuck? And this is why we don't go hang out in Knoxville. I don't even like to go to the mall, and that's not a horrible area, but horrible things have happened there. Like, I don't mind going by myself, I guess. I do not like taking my girls with me to those places.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And especially now with the whole social media spotlight on sex trafficking,
yes.
We see how much more prevalent it is, and more so in our area.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's always been there, we just didn't know it, or we just not know it.
Or
so
there's a huge uptick now.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't shop at night anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a big thing for me because it was quiet. I could go shopping at night, get my grocery shopping done. There's nobody in the store. Now, I'm not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go shopping after dark.
Yeah.
Ever. Rarely do I actually, other than our Kroger, because I love it, it's my safe space, I don't go shopping by myself during the day.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only place. Like, I do not like going to Walmart. If I have to, I have a list. I'm in. I'm out. I go. I'm a neurotic bitch. I am so nervous. I don't think I ever used to be that way, though. Like, I used to be pretty comfortable in my surroundings and confident in myself that, like, I'm not a victim. So bring it. And now I'm like, there's crazy people here, though.
And we can't run like we used to go.
We really can't. Never really could run.
No, but
I can run less now. Yes. And I am one of those people that will start my car before I get to it. I unlock one door. I get in. I lock the door.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I'm nervous Nelly. Probably never going to get better. I'm only hoping that I can teach my kids to do the same thing. Like, just be aware of your surroundings.
Right.
Always. Because people are insane. Now, when you're in Oklahoma, it was a little different. I really wasn't as worried. Like, we just went and did a thing, and I wasn't worried about people. Here, it's super crowded and super busy, and I just feel like there's too many people.
Right.
I blame part of that on COVID. I got used to not being around people, and now I'm like, I don't want to go do that because there's a lot of people there. I'm not prepared for all of that breathing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. That was kind of me Sunday and Monday. I was like, I'm peopled out between game night, date night, friends night. I was like, I can't people today. I'm done.
I just want my couch and a blanket and a movie.
Yes, I'm done.
I think I did that on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so quiet. Part of the kids left. So we, Austin went to work. We had one kid. She was on her tablet. I wrapped up in a blanket, and I did not move off my couch for like 4 hours. I was just like, it's so quiet here.
Yeah.
This happens never. We're just going
to
take it.
Sometimes you just need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So on that note, I don't know what we're talking about in 2 weeks because we won't be here next week. But we would love to have you back. There will be a show for... Not movie of the week. Cinephiles will be tomorrow night. But they are starting a half an hour late. It will be at 6:30. So 6:30 to 8:30. Will be Cinephiles tomorrow night. There will be a note by note on Friday. Not sure who he's talking to, but usually they're from over on the western side of the states and should be a good show as always. Join The Guy in Glasses and Jesse Lives for their show. And then I'm assuming there will be a movie of the week. I will confirm with Dan, and we will post it on the pages. So just follow the pages. Every show has its own page, and we try to keep them updated. So I know our show probably needs to probably be a little more active on the page, and we will get there. On that note, have a great night. Have a great rest of your week. Be nice to people. Don't be assholes. And we will see you in 2 weeks.
Happy holidays, everybody. Enjoy the turkey day.
I can't wait.